I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The condition for children, especially at the U.S. southern border, is an issue that many Americans have become clued into in recent weeks, if not before. But conditions for migrants being held at the border has been a problem for years. One of the differences now is the number of people trying to cross the border, the length that they're being detained, and the delays and problems in getting children into what the government determines to be safe custody of adults within the United States. There are a lot of policy decisions to be discussed that have contributed to the current conditions, and both philosophical and practical differences that people of various political persuasions hold. But most agree that the situation is untenable as it stands now. So what is Congress doing? And what is still to be done? That's what we're going to focus on today. And I'm joined in VPR's Montpelier Bureau by Senator Patrick Leahy. He was co-sponsor with Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby on a $4.6 billion emergency appropriation funding bill to address the southern border situation. We'll talk about what's in that bill, why so many children are being held in deplorable conditions now, and what else needs to be done in both the short term and the long term to address immigration and immigration policies. Senator Leahy, thank you very much for being with us. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jane. It feels so good to be home. This has nothing to do with the program, but I was mentioning to you before, I'm looking out on the lawn at our home just outside Montpelier in Middlesex, and roses are coming up, but they were planted originally by my grandmother probably 40 or 50 years before I was born. And they're still growing every year. See that, see the flag flying and sun shining. It's good to be home.
Well, I'm going to key off what you just said there, Senator, because one of the things that we're seeing when we all think about and hear about immigration policy is when people decide to leave their homes, why they do it and why they would do it, given what they know, at least some information about how dangerous it can be to try to get to the United States, and what is filtering out into Central American countries about what the United States is currently doing in terms of family separation and in terms of detention. And, you know, when you look at those roses that were planted 50 years before you were born, how do you reflect on this idea of home and homeland and who gets to stay in their homeland?
Exactly. And those roses, I think, were given to my grandmother by her mother, who had emigrated to Vermont in 1850 or so from Ireland. America should be a safe place, and it beckons others. I've talked with many, many of these immigrants, those who've come here, including some who have been detained. The stories they tell are horrible. They're not coming here to take jobs away from us. They're trying to protect their families. When a mother will say she'll walk for hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of miles with a 9, 10, 11-year-old daughter because she's afraid if she stays there, that daughter is going to be forced into as a sex slave. Her sons are going to be forced into gangs. People are being killed left and right. And, you know, we put in a large amount of money, hundreds of millions, to help reduce the causes of cause people to flee in some of these countries, setting up non-governmental agencies that can give alternatives to the violence and so on. And for some reason, the Trump administration has blocked the expenditure of it. I hope now they'll allow it. But I wish some of them, some of the people like Stephen Miller at the White House and all this, so anti-immigrant, come and see some of the things I've seen. I've gone down there. I've spent days on the border. I've gone into these rooms, cages, holding children. Now, you know, think of the age of yours. If you have children 9, 10, 11 years old, if they're playing with others, everybody's laughing and having a great time. You go in, you see children of this age in large cages, probably 30, 40 of them. It's dead silence. I looked at one young boy, probably 10, 12 years old. We did eye contact. I smiled at him. He started to smile, and then he put his head down immediately and hit his face like, maybe we're not supposed to do this.
When you go to the detention centers, are you allowed to talk to children?
Yes, with a translator. And
why are journalists not allowed to talk to the children? And can Congress do something about that?
Well, we've written into this into the Shelby Leahy bill that they have to allow members of Congress. They can't deny them going in there. At most, they can stop for 48 hours. But I think it's a mistake not to allow people to come in, journalists. I know that the people with me, I had professional staff from the Appropriations Committee with me, and I told them to feel free to explain everything that happened. Everything
you mean
say
talk publicly about
it? Oh, sure, and to the press, and I did. I came back, and I'm looking at the things that are being done, my grandparents, my maternal grandparents emigrated to Vermont from Italy. Marcel's parents emigrated to Vermont from Canada. She was born in Newport, Vermont. And I look at her family and my family creating jobs, making Vermont a better place. Why this anti-immigrants? It is terrible. We are a nation of immigrants. Some of the things against immigrants are racist in nature, and that is wrong. But what we did in our bill, and it passed first out of sometimes a polarized committee, the Appropriations Committee, 30-1. Somebody joked you couldn't get in the U.S. Senate these days, 30-1, say the sun would rise in the east. But we locked into our bill no funding for the Trump wall, no funding for ICE detention beds. We prohibit transfer of...
And just to be clear, ICE detention beds are different from Homeland Security detention beds, the conditions for children being detained. You're not talking about not giving those children beds.
No, in fact, we're giving beds, but we're doing it in such a way that we have standards for them. We're also putting money to allow the children to go into what, for want of a better word, foster homes. It's that. And we're also saying that they're in any temporary facilities. These have to meet national standards. You can't have children crowded sleeping on the floor. You can't have little children without diapers. And we had 30 new immigration judge teams. When you have a 3 or 4 year old before an immigration judge, and they ask, "What's your parents' name?" Well, they'll say in their own language, "You know, mom and dad." Where do you live? In the greenhouse next to the White House. This is crazy. This is not America. What you're seeing down there. Now, are there some people trying to take advantage of it? Of course. But we have ways of weeding them out. A 4-year-old or a 5-year-old child is not a drug dealer, is not an armed robber, is not a killer. It is an innocent child, and they should be treated that way.
So we got a note from Alpha 16, who's been reading about children who are crossing the border with adults who are not related to them by blood. And Alpha 16 writes, "Whose kids are they? Have they been rented, kidnapped, abused? What happens to them after they and the adults disappear into the sanctuary cities?" Children who are apprehended with adults involved in illegal activities are always removed from the adults who are detained. They are turned over to relatives or children's services. So what is different about these kids? And, Senator, there are two questions there. First, what do you know about children who are crossing the border with adults who are not their biological parents? And let's start there, and then we can tackle the second
part.
Well,
you know, we asked the head of Homeland Security that question. Basically, after a series of questions came back, yes, there is a handful of them. Not the way you hear in some of the comments, you think thousands.
Yes, Alpha 16, I think, actually wrote that what they were reading was 30%.
Well, they know. And according to the sworn testimony of the head of Homeland Security, it's not. But if you have a case like that, then the adult bringing them across is committing a crime, and they can be charged with it. And we
you
should.
You mean if it's trafficking?
Yeah, and they should be. What I worry about is that everybody's treated the same. That a five-year-old is treated the same as somebody belongs to a murderous gang. That's not right. That's not America. We can set up things. We can set up processing centers in Mexico and other countries. There are so many things we can do at far less cost, with more humanity, and weed out the wrong people. But don't forget, we are a nation of immigrants. We have 325 million Americans. I would like to see what percentage of them are within one generation being immigrants. It would be a very large percentage.
Now, a lot of people, though, who would stop you there and say, you know, that their perspective is not that we are not a nation of immigrants or that people shouldn't be able to immigrate. Their perspective is they shouldn't come into the country without going through the, quote, proper channels, so that it's not a question of do you support immigration or not. It's a question of the immigration policy in the United States and what's allowed and people who are crossing in without documentation or crossing in. I mean, I think that the question of asylum is a related but sort of separate question, but certainly an important one. But people who are coming in not through immigration channels is what they say is the problem.
Well, then set up better immigration channels.
Isn't that your job?
Yeah, and we have put in a whole lot of money for that. But it also is the job of the administration, which has to determine how they want to spend it. When you have people, a key person in immigration in the White House is Stephen Miller. He wouldn't allow any immigrants if he had his way about it, and it's wrong. A few years ago, when I was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we passed a massive immigration bill. It took months of work, of weekends, nights, markups, and so on, but we passed it with 68 votes, overwhelming majority, Republicans and Democrats. It would have easily passed the House, but the Republican Speaker of the House said he couldn't bring it up because it would violate the Dennis Hastert rule. They considered the Dennis Hastert rule sacred. If they had some Republicans who were opposed to it, they couldn't bring it up. They probably called the rule something differently after former Speaker Hastert went to prison.
Let's go to our calls. Jeff is calling in from Newport. Jeff, hi. You're on the air. What are your thoughts today?
Well, I disagree entirely with Senator Leahy. The people that are coming here to take what our forefathers left us. We're the real Americans. We should come first, and we should get the benefits of our forefathers. And that's what I have to say, because it's the only way to go. Letting these people in will only bring disaster.
So let me ask you, what do you think that the United States immigration policy should be? Shut all borders and let no one in? Or you know, how would you set up an immigration policy that works?
And when we entered World War II and we won it decisively, we don't need this many people. We had a great country, and we should have kept it great. We lost it after World War II when we started letting all these immigrants come in.
All right, Jeff, I thank you for your perspective.
Well, that's interesting. He's from Newport. My wife's parents immigrated to Newport. Her uncle immigrated to Newport. He just died at 100 years old. They set up the Pomerleau Agency. They have given millions and millions of dollars to charity in Vermont. They've created hundreds over the years, maybe even thousands of jobs. This man would keep them out of Newport. He says he's a...
Well, he wouldn't keep them out. They came in time.
Well, yeah, but you know what? When you say you're American, where did you come from originally? Native Americans, sure. But I suspect this person is not.
What do you think is a rational and reasonable way to address immigration policy? We're not going to get to all of the situations and all of the conditions that have led to where we are right now. And certainly we could, and other people are having conversations about the United States' role in Central and South America and in destabilizing that region and in leading people to try to cross the border. I think that's a conversation we probably don't have the capacity to have right now. But in terms of working in the medium to long term on what's the appropriate immigration policy for the United States, I mean, John in South Stratford wants to know, why can't we have a regulated guest worker program for dairy workers, for example, for year-round dairy workers? You know, maybe this is a moment where it has reached such a fever pitch that there is will on both sides of the aisle to actually buckle down and do some really serious things about immigration policy. And what would they be in if you could lead the charge?
No, I think you put your finger on it. I'm one advantage I have is I never expected to become dean of the Senate, but now that I am, I can go to my Capitol office and invite in both Republicans and Democrats, and I do. They can meet there. They know they're not going. It's not going to be in the press. They can talk freely. And I'm detecting now more and more an attitude, certainly in the Senate. Let's go back to a real immigration bill. Dick Durbin, deputy Democratic leader, Lindsey Graham, who's the now chair of Judiciary, they've been meeting. And I will continue meeting with them. I think we probably reached a tipping point. And people realize we're going to have to pass a real immigration bill. But then we've got to address some of the problems that bring these people here.
But let me just ask you first, what would be in your immigration? I mean, what would you like to see? You say we're a nation of immigrants.
I would like to see something where we take care of the dreamers, those who have been here most of their lives, give them a real path to citizenship. One of your callers talked about farm workers. It makes no sense to have a 6-month visa for a dairy worker. You don't say, okay, tell the cows we'll be back to milk you in 6 months from now. It just doesn't work that way. Have a program similar to what several of us in both parties have proposed for dairy workers, but have a more sensible way. Have a better way with students and have students be able to stay. I worry very much about people who come here. They go to our best schools. They've developed the abilities in engineering and everything else. But we tell them, well, you can't stay. So they go back to their country, their original country, create jobs and compete with us. I'd rather have them stay.
It seems like that might be a point of collaboration with the current presidential administration. President Trump has talked about moving more toward a merit-based system, and certainly people who come here for an education and have certain qualifications, might that be an area of compromise that you could find with the administration?
I think it might be, but you've got to do away with this constant tweeting and everything else that immigrants are bad, and with some of the people in the administration, what they say, you suddenly start realizing, well, especially those that aren't white. Now, that is wrong. And what we've just seen in the news, I think this morning, about the website that some of the border officers have had, well, their inspector general is going to have to look in that. As a former prosecutor, I'd say to the inspector general, you land with both feet on those kind of things.
And what the senator is talking about, if you haven't been up on this news, ProPublica broke a story yesterday about a secret Facebook group of more than 9,000 members, apparently made up of current and former Border Patrol agents. And in screenshots of posts in the group, which ProPublica found and then linked to individual Facebook accounts identifying Border Patrol agents, they made light of recent deaths of some migrants. They photoshopped vulgar depictions of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and they joked about Latino members of Congress who were planning a visit to a detention center in Texas yesterday. And so that story has broken. Other people have been reporting on it as well, and certainly something that is going to be looked at and is being looked into, because former and current Border Patrol agents talking about this in this secret group is something that's of interest. Wendy, who says she's a pediatrician, emailed in to say, the unconscionable practices occurring at our southern border constitute reportable medical neglect and outright child abuse. My professional organization, the American Academy of Pediatrics, has published policy on family separation, which is contrary to everything we know about child welfare and other aspects of care for immigrant, migrant, and border children, with the goal of reducing their exposure to these unsafe and unhealthy conditions that undoubtedly re-traumatize them. We have sent representatives to bear witness at detention centers, but none of this seems like enough. What can we do, and more importantly, what will you, Congress, do to avoid having this be our collective legacy? And while we're on that, let's talk to Lorraine, who's calling in from St. Johnsbury. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi. Hi, Jane. Hello, Senator Leahy. Well, along with what the pediatrician said, I feel that here's our government hiring these people to work on the border, and they're torturing children. Our government is supposed to be, you know, by the people, for the people. And so I feel like, you know, I'm part of this. I don't want to be part of this, and I want to know, what can I do? What can I do to stop torturing children? Thank you.
Lorraine, thanks for the call. So, Senator Leahy, people want to people who find this unacceptable don't know what to do because it doesn't seem to be changing.
Well, we've seen two different views, even here in Vermont. You had one caller doesn't want anybody to come in, and it hurts the country, according to him. And then you hear the pediatricians and others talk about what's going on. I'm in the second camp. We're a nation of 325 million people. Obviously, we can easily have more people come in, but we have to treat them both following the law and humanely. What I've seen when I've been down there is similar to what the pediatricians have seen, and it is wrong. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. You can't have this. So we put in my bill $979 million for processing facilities, food, medical services, and safe transportation. $109 million extra for just specifically for children. We put in millions of dollars to fund alternatives to keeping them in custody and to bring in some of the groups, some of the faith groups and civic-minded groups who are willing to help. They just don't have the funding. We're going to give them the funding. But then ultimately, we've got to go back and work on what is causing this migration. If children are being forced into sex slavery in a Central American country, if they're being forced into gangs, if they're being shot arbitrarily, if they have law enforcement working with gangs and not with the people, well, then we should be involved in that. And you don't cure that with tweets or a Twitter account. You deal with it in actually sitting down, having our State Department and our humane groups in there helping.
It seems to me that it would actually be possible to both hold the position that we should not be allowing as many or very many immigrants into this country, that could be a policy position that you hold. And at the same time, there can be a position that, however, if the United States has people in custody, specifically children in custody, that separate from the question of immigration policy, if children are under the control of the United States government, we have a responsibility to treat them with humanity, to provide soap and water, to be doing what our actual laws tell us we have to do. So you may hold a position that says, I think we should mostly shut our borders, and yet you could still be saying, however, the situation for migrant detainees is absolutely unacceptable. So I don't think those have to be
the same
position.
And more and more, certainly the senators I talk with in both parties are realizing that. Again, we wouldn't have gotten a 30-1 vote in our Appropriations Committee if we didn't have people from the right to the left come together to try to make it better. We have to treat the dreamers in this country. We have got to have a real path to citizenship. I go to the immigration or the naturalization ceremony as often as I can here in Vermont. They just had one at the Ethan Allen Homestead a couple of weeks ago. Marcel and I were there. And it was wonderful to see people saluting the flag, pledge allegiance, and so on. I think about Judge Sessions, who does that and talked about his last one, that he sometimes sees the people that he's given the oath to. One he saw 10 or 12 years after he gave him the oath. And where did he see him? When he had a blood clot on his brain and he was being operated on, the operation saved his life. The surgeon operating on him was the one he had sworn in as a new American citizen. Well, come on. Different languages, different people, different customs. That's what makes America strong.
Let's go to Anna, who's calling in from Brandon. Hi, Anna.
Hi. I'm just calling. I just wanted to know what the senator's thoughts were on what's happening is the migrants. They get the jobs, these corporations. The Americans train these migrants. Been at their jobs 20, 30 years. They're fired from their jobs.
Anna, can you give me an example of where you've seen that in your life, where an American citizen has trained a migrant and then been fired and the migrant worker has taken their job? I mean, is this something you hear, or is this something you're experiencing?
Well, I'm not going to be specific, but it's happening. You can argue where, when, how, but it's happening. And I just want to know, and of the billions of dollars you just gave the migrants, how much goes to the victims of the migrants' crimes, the victims of the husbands that have been shot and killed and can't bring food to the table for their children anymore?
So, Anna, I want to ask you this again, because one of the things that we know about, statistically speaking, people who are not born in the United States are actually less likely to commit crimes than American-born people in this country. So, again, I just want to ask you about this, because I understand what you're saying and I understand the emotion in your voice. But when you look at policies and when you look at emotion, are they two different things for you or not?
Not emotion. I just heard you say that you have pediatricians at the border. I know people personally that can't afford to see a pediatrician in America.
Yeah, Anna, that's a really interesting point. And let's put that to Senator Leahy, because we are talking today about immigration policy. It, of course, doesn't exist in a vacuum. I mean, we know that in Vermont there are certain companies where they can't even find enough workers. But also we know, as Anna says, certainly people are trying to think, people who are citizens here are trying to struggle to put food on the table and to go to a doctor when they need to. And I think there may be a point at which they say, you're paying all of this attention to people who aren't even citizens or aren't even here legally. What about us? So regardless of the statistics, that feeling of what about us?
And that I agree. I wish if she would send me an example of even one person where a workers had to train a migrant to take their job and then they got fired from their job. For one thing, I'm not sure that'd be legal in most states. But please tell me, give me the facts, give me the names of where that happened, and I'll have my legal team look into it. I have not heard. I've seen on some of the postings on Twitter and whatnot that happened. I've never seen a documented case. So please, feel free. I have a toll-free number. Call with the name of the person who was fired, the name of the person who did the training. Obviously, medical care. We've been fortunate in Vermont with a Dr. Dinosaur. One of the reasons Vermont is always listed as one or two healthier states in the country is it started to have health care from the time you're born to you're 18 at least. And that's important. And so we do have pediatricians for that. Should we have more? Of course. I was concerned when the president said, do away with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Act, but had nothing to replace it with. I want people, I don't care what level, what financial level they are, to be able to have doctors. Now, I know that in a rural state like ours, sometimes the doctors are further apart, and that happens in rural areas. But we should be doing more to encourage people to go become pediatric physicians. They don't make as much money as say a surgical physician, but we should be able to do something on their tuition and so on.
Do you said several of the Democratic candidates for president support basically removing private health insurance and making public health insurance the only way, or pretty much the only way, that Americans get health insurance? We're a very long time from picking a Democratic nominee for president. But on that question of health care, is there one policy that you support over the other, the public option versus?
I've heard a lot. I want to see health care affordable. I think that when I see...
But not abolish private health insurance.
When I see ads for example, for medicines that the company is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to advertise them, and you have to charge you a huge amount, far more than in Canada or Europe, that shouldn't happen. We should bring that down, make it far more affordable. We should make sure that everybody has access to basic health care. Give me the plan that will do that. I'm all for it.
Kathy's calling in from Orwell. Kathy, hi. What's your question or perspective?
Hi, Jane and Senator. Thanks for your time. I'm curious about international law with respect to what's happening at the border, particularly in light of how these children have been suffering and some even dying. And I'm curious, do other nations with their own rule of law have any power or type of sanction against us as a sovereign nation because of what's happening with these people on the border?
Kathy, thanks for the call, Senator.
Not really. And we have... The United States has stayed out of the jurisdiction of most of the international tribunals without going into a long, long dissertation on it. But we've seen problems in other countries, and there is not international law. But there can be public reaction to it. I hear from my sister Mary, who lives in Marshfield often, about what she's heard from others. I hear it. I get it from the letters coming in. That's why I say, you know, go to Leahy.Senate.gov. Send your views. I hear it from when Marcel and I are going through the grocery store here in Vermont, or coming out of church on a Sunday, and people will talk to us. Make sure you don't. I think the vast majority of Americans want people to be treated humanely, whether they're in this country or coming into this country. And it can be done. If there are criminals coming in, there are ways of weeding them out. But as you pointed out, the crime rate among immigrants is much lower than among people born here.
Last question here from Kristen, who's calling in from Moncton. Hi, Kristen. Oh, I think we've lost Kristen. But Kristen wanted to say thanks to you and supporting a position that we have to treat people humanely. So before we let you go, Senator, I just want to ask you did pass this $4.6 billion bill. This was a Senate bill that you wrote with Richard Shelby, passed by the Senate, also passed overwhelmingly by the House. What do you then do to make sure that the money actually gets appropriated in the way that you want? Because there are certain ways that the money cannot be sent to, you know, DHS money cannot go to ICE, for example. But within that money, within those appropriations, there are choices that agencies can make about whether they're, for example, buying beds or whether they're using that money for other types of facility needs. So, you know, what recourse do you have to make sure that your priorities are actually put in place?
Well, it's called oversight. I think we have to have these hearings. We have to have the oversight. We have to point out when they don't spend the money the way it should. I've been here with every administration since President Ford, Republican and Democratic alike. All of them have followed the law of what's set up in appropriation. This is the first one to ignore it, and that's wrong. And that's creating a real problem. When you have Republicans and Democrats come together and pass a law, it should be upheld.
That's Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont. Senator Leahy, thanks very much for taking some of your time today to talk with us.
Thank you. And I can't tell you how much Marcel and I are happy to be home.